Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What is going on, Charlotte Hornets fans? It is I, Darian Thomas, your host of the Trust the Buzz podcast, a part of the Believe Podcast Network. If you are listening to this on YouTube, feel free to go anywhere where you can catch a podcast and listen to it there, because I know on YouTube doesn't let you kind of like close your phone and continue with your day. So go ahead and check out the podcast on any podcast platform, whether that's Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, all those good places. And brought to you, our podcast, I messed up, but our podcast today is brought to you by betonline.ag. Put in code BELIEVE for 50% welcome bonus. Please bet responsibly. And today we have an excellent, excellent podcast episode. I was going to do this podcast yesterday, but I figured since the Hornets were playing the Lakers, I figured might as well just wait till after the game. So I'm recording this the next day because I'm old and cannot stay up that late and record the podcast. So let's just go ahead and get into it. So what we're going to talk about today are three main things. The first one being the Lakers game. We're going to be talking about that, of course, and then we're also going to be talking about the rest of the road trip as a whole. We're going to talk about kind of what are the keys to the Hornets being successful on this road trip. Spoiler alert, it's not many. We're also going to be talking about, is Miles Bridges quote unquote worth the trouble? Because there are, I've seen people talk about how he's not worth the money. I've seen people talk about like it's just too much considering what's happening off the court and kind of his play on the court. Is it even worth it giving him the money? We're going to dive into that for a little bit. And lastly, we're going to talk about, does Nick Smith Jr. deserve more minutes? Now, we see that, you know, last night being an indicator that he will probably get more minutes due to the fact that Gordon Hayward is now out. But does he deserve more minutes? The guys I feel like he's competing for minutes with currently right now, the way the roster is constructed, is Bryce McGowan and Ish Smith. So does he deserve kind of that time over those guys? We're going to talk about all that today. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the show. Lakers game notes, there aren't many. I mean, the team started off really good. I was actually happy with what I was seeing. They were playing inspiring defense. They were taking the easy shots on offense. Miles Bridges caught fire early, and we were just kind of clicking on all cylinders. It wasn't a game where I was like, there's no way we lose this game or anything like that. It was just more so, this is what I expect, or this is what I want when I turn on a Hornets game. Just the guys trying. It seems like more hurt we are, the better we play for some reason. And maybe it's overcompensating for the guys who are missing. But it's just weird because when we are healthy as a unit, we kind of, I think we're really lazy. But when we're missing people, we just play a lot better. I wish I could explain it, and I wish that wasn't the case. But that's just what it seems like, you know, outside looking in, obviously just watching all the games. But I'm not on the court, don't know anybody on the team. So I don't know what's actually going on, but that's just what it appears to be. And like I said, we started off good. LeBron James only had 5 points going into the second half. Anthony Davis had some moments here and there, but it wasn't anything crazy. It wasn't like he was necessarily dominating. I think Nick Richards just did a really good job of just guarding Anthony Davis. If I remember correctly, Anthony Davis was like 3 of 10 going against Nick Smith Jr., like directly, not in like a fast break or anything, but just like in a half court setting or when those two could match up. He did a really good job of just kind of getting in his way. And that's all I can ask for, especially Nick Richards not being the starter. But there are times where Nick Richards is kind of frustrating. As we see that there were times he did struggle defensively. If for some reason someone was cutting down, he couldn't rotate over fast enough. Also, I just feel like he's a little soft. Anytime somebody puts some strength into him or just put a little weight on him, he kind of just flails and not really able. He's kind of out the play. That's kind of been my biggest thing with Nick Richards. But he played a solid game. I think that if anything, it's just an obvious ceiling with him. And by obvious ceiling, I just mean. By obvious ceiling, I just mean that you just see that there's not really much more he's going to ever be able to provide, because we saw plenty of times on a pick and roll, someone would attack the rim, he would roll with them, and then they would pass him to him, and he just can't handle the ball. It's almost just like he's just a very clumsy NBA player, and that's kind of like what's stopping him from being as good as I possibly think he could be. I mean, he had 10 and 10 last night. They took him off early because that was the first game of a back-to-back, but still, it's just sometimes, it's just he's missing something like that. I don't really even think it's necessarily basketball that's messing him up. It's just small intangibles that I just see him struggling with, such as just having better hands, such as just being able to roll correctly, such as, you know, kind of just being able to put your body on player, because he's a huge guy. I don't understand why Nick Rich is more than anybody in the league. I feel like maybe a little less than Joel Embiid is on the ground. Like he's always on the ground. That's something I've said a lot, but it is what it is. I still think he had a good game last night. At the end of the day, he is the backup, so I can't really fault him too much, but I like what I saw from him last night. It's just like, I feel like it's one of those things where he's just so close to being so much better. If he can just fix those small things, that it becomes frustrating to watch him, because what I think he needs to work on is something so simple. So simple, but I digress. Yeah, he struggled a little bit, but overall, I think he had a decent game. Cody Martin, I want to note that he looked pretty good last night. On offense, he took some like rhythm jump shots, and that's just not your game. Don't do that. That's really all I got to say about that. I don't know why he was taking those shots. Those shots really aren't, that's not his game. He wouldn't make a move. He wouldn't really get anybody like off their balance. He would just kind of jab step, shoot. Similar to Miles Bridges, except Cody's wasn't going in. So that was kind of frustrating to watch. But other than that, his playmaking was good. The way he's able to move around the floor and offense was good. And I think his defense, for the most part, was decent. I mean, overall, the defense fell apart once we kind of got hit in the mouth, which is typical. That's something that happens when we have the starters. That's something when we're not healthy, that it just happens. We don't deal well with getting hit in the mouth. And I think there's a difference between getting hit in the mouth and just like allowing a run. I feel like allowing a run, going down, we do a decent job of sometimes coming back and winning those games. And I'm talking overall last few years. But last night, it was a little different. Last night, it was one of those games where the Lakers went on a run, but they went on like a run with vengeance. They were doing it on both sides of the floor. They were making it tough for us. We weren't converting on our end, and they just continued to pile on. It wasn't just like a 10-0 run, call a timeout type of deal. And we don't do well in those situations, never have. So, yeah, everybody's defense was just okay. At the beginning, I think it was really good. Our rotations were great, but we could not keep up with that ball movement. Lakers had over like 40 assists, I believe they had like 41 to our 27. And you could tell that they have a lot of ball movement. And it's crazy because they don't have a true point guard. They sit D'Angelo Russell. He's coming off the bench, and they just kind of run a different lineup with no true point guard, kind of have Bron act as that. But LeBron being the age he is and all this, it's still just a more fluid offense. It seems like that's what they're going for. And the Lakers did just that. Everybody was moving the ball. They're not relying on one person to move the ball. And unfortunately, we do not have that. We run a lot of ISO, but we don't have a lot of guys that can create their own shot. Steve Clifford has said that earlier in the season. Why that has not changed? Part of it, I believe Steve Clifford does need to do a better job of trying to get the ball moving. Of course, missing LaMelo Ball affects that. But also, it's the players. The type of players we have is very ISO heavy for some reason. If you look at it, like Miles Bridges, which we'll talk about later, so I won't go too hard on to this point. But Miles Bridges, a lot of his points are scored when he's assisted. But when he's just kind of taking off the dribble and doing it himself, where he does a step back three or try to drive on three people, his numbers are significantly down. So also having guys like Terry, who has been doing a better job being a playmaker compared to years past, but you still see where he holds on the ball for a little too long and missed kind of open guys. There were some times I think he missed Brandon Miller. I think there was a couple of times where he missed Bryce McGowan's. It's just things like that. We weren't able to keep up with it with the Lakers being able to move the ball so efficiently. And then on our end, we were not able to move the ball at all. We were not able to kind of get guys open. We don't take good shots on top of also not being able to get guys open. It's a frustrating offense to watch, specifically when we're just not hitting. A lot of our game revolves around kind of guys being heroes. A lot of our team success revolves around LaMelo going nuclear, Miles Bridges kind of doing his thing, Terry Rozier being Terry Rozier. And we saw in the fourth quarter against the Denver Nuggets, if our defense would have upheld, I think we had a real shot of winning that game. We were kind of moving the ball, and that's how Nick Smith Jr. was getting the ball and dropped 15 in the fourth quarter because of ball movement and because of just guys just creating space, and we just weren't doing that in this game. We really don't do it typically anyway. So another thing is just to watch is like our defense. It was starting off good, but as the game went on, we just really, really struggled. And it's frustrating to watch because it's like you play so well, but then the talent gap kicks in. But even that, the guys just stop playing as hard. I don't know what it is. I really can't tell you. I really can't tell you. It's one of those things where I said on Twitter, you can copy and paste the reason the Hornets lose this game and literally apply it to every game. Injuries, bad calls, not hitting shots, taking bad shots, not getting open, not rotating on defense, collapsing on defense. It is just a lot. It's the same stuff every time. The way to beat the Hornets. First of all, it's easy to beat the Hornets. You don't have to do too much. But the way to beat the Hornets is pretty simple. I mean, you can switch it up as any. You can slice the pie any way you want it. But our defensive scheme is just not good. I like the scheme itself. I think the players we have cannot run it. I'm not sure why we continue to run it. That's kind of like something where it's on Clifford. I would really like to know, especially considering where this team is. It would be different if we're like on a cusp of greatness or something, but we're missing players. When we do have a majority, when we're Hornets healthy, that's what I'll call it because we're never truly healthy. But when we're Hornets healthy, we still have the same issues. And I know a lot of it is that these guys really haven't been able to build, on court chemistry together. But after a while, it's just something's got to give, And I don't know what that is, but overall, we just look like a sloppy team, to be honest with you. If there's anything else I would look to for the Lakers game, I would just also add that our paint defense was horrendous outside of Nick Richards kind of doing what he was doing. I mean, we allowed 62 points in the paint. 62 points in the paint. We cannot defend the paint to save our lives. And I don't think we've been able to defend the paint at all. And there's two reasons. One, I feel as though Nick Richards and Mark Williams are not as good as we want them to be. Nick Richards, I said he has an ultimate ceiling. He's also a backup. I'm not going to go too much into his fault. Plus, he did pretty well last night. Mark Williams struggles. I think his problem is he goes for a lot of blocks. He ends up in a lot of foul trouble. And then when he is on the floor, kind of doing a decent job of rim protecting, the team goes into a five out and we can't guard that, which is also that's like a whole nother podcast. But to have JT Thor and PJ Washington and not be able to guard a five out is kind of insane to me. Those are the perfect guys as far as their size and what you would want their skill set to be to guard a five out, and yet they can't do it. So it's just, do you leave Mark out there and let him continue to get torched on the five out, or do you, switch him, put in, Miles at the four, PJ or Thor at the five, and then all of a sudden, they're just attacking the rim with ease. We can't get rebounds. It's insane to watch. It's very, very insane to watch. But yeah, our paint defense was just horrendous. And the second reason for that is because of the fact that when our perimeter defense is so bad that they let guys get right by them. And then if you're Mark Williams, Nick Richards, whoever you want to put down there, you're in a tough situation because either you move over and guard the guy who's attacking the rim and give up the dump off, or you stay on that guy and the guy at the, who's attacking the rim has an easy lane. It's hard to pinpoint who. That's why. Okay. And I know I'm kind of stumbling over my words here, but to me, that is probably one of the biggest reasons why it's hard to know what to do as far as if you're a Hornets fan thinking, hey, what should a Hornets do? Is because it's so many things that sets off other things that you don't really know what's worse. Is our paint defense really that bad, or our perimeter defense is really that bad? Personally, I would like to fix the perimeter defense first because of the fact that we allow too many threes as well. So it's not just, we allow too many drives. We allow way too many threes as well. So our perimeter defense seems like probably the biggest issue. And if we stop allowing threes, force people to have to go into the paint, then maybe we can have a better chance of defending the paint because they try to blow past whoever is guarding the perimeter. That leads into Mark Williams. That person can rotate. You know what I'm saying? So maybe it helps out a little bit. I'm not sure, but I think our perimeter defense is what needs the most help. And speaking of perimeter defense, I think the Lakers shot like 50% from three, which that's something I do want to add lastly before we kind of move on to our next section of talking about how to be successful on a road trip, which is going to be a short section, I promise. But I really, really don't understand how, like, okay, if you look at the Lakers, one of the biggest talks for Lakers fans and just the NBA is LeBron, AD, they're kind of doing their thing. They're kind of doing what you expect them to do. AD's available. LeBron is LeBron. He's winning games while still kind of preserving himself for the future as far as the playoffs. The other guys have not been doing their part, which is why the Lakers are like 16-14 or something like that. The last night, they did their part. How? And we do this. This is what the Hornets do. This unit, the supporting cast, has been struggling for the Lakers from day one. From day one. And we make them look like the best supporting cast in the league. They looked really good last night. Really good last night. And even in the first half, they made a lot of errors, which is why we were only down one. And then the second half, those errors stopped. In the second half, D'Lo was hitting his shots even more. In the second half, I don't even think Anthony Davis played like that. LeBron kind of started off, you know, strong, going from like 5 to 17 points or something like that. And then after that, they just let everybody else do the job. And we still couldn't stop them with our starters out there. Whatever, sitting LeBron and AD. So I really don't know. The Hornets are in a position where I really don't know how you fix them. I don't. I know there's teams that, and this is what I also hate seeing. At least we're not the Pistons. At least we're not the Wizards. I would rather be them. I would rather be them because, and this is a little quick rant, but I would rather be the Wizards because at least the Wizards are slowly but surely building something. You're about to probably get a number one, number two, number three overall pick, which in this draft, I don't think, as of right now, as someone who pays close attention to the draft, I don't think there's a big difference between one and maybe even four. So, you know, if you're one through four, I think you're fine. I'd rather be them. I just rather be them. Yes, you have Kyle Kuzma, who's I think is a very, people are going to want him. Unfortunately, you're stuck with Jordan Poole as of right now. I don't think anyone's going to want to trade for him. But I mean, at worst, if you get in another decent guard, Jordan Poole, I think, would play even better because we see that he's just not ready for the main guy role. But I think if you get another ball handler in there, another guy that can really put some pressure on the opposing team defense, I think that'll open up Jordan Poole a little bit. The Pistons, yes, I know they lost 28 straight. But that team, did I think they would be that bad? No, I had no reason to think they would be that bad. But is that team really even built to win? No, not really. I mean, it's built to kind of see Kate do his thing, Jalen Duren do his thing. We've seen Marcus Sasser come in and be successful for them. Bogdan. They have Bogdan, right? Or do they have Bogdan? I think they have Bojan, actually. That's weird. I think there's some management issues there. But as far as the players, I mean, I think it's fixable, truly. Maybe not fixable under this regime, but overall, I think it's fixable. It's not like this purgatory type thing. Hornets, kind of purgatory. Think about it. LaMelo Ball, you just signed to an extension. He's about to make his money. I'm cool with that. Miles Bridges, which we'll talk about, which I will probably, you know, go into shortly. I'm iffy, and I'll explain why, but I'm iffy. I see it, but I don't see it at the same time. Gordon Hayward's coming off the books, not worried about that. Terry Rozier, what do you do? I never thought that fit with him and LaMelo was ever going to work. I thought they should have traded Terry the year they drafted Book, which I guess it turned out for the better, maybe, because Book not quite what we thought he would be. But either way, now it's going to be a little harder to trade Terry. I know people are going to want him. I know contracts kind of don't matter, but I think you would have got a lot more for a lot less back then than you would have now. Mark Williams, he's still kind of like a rookie to me. I use that phrase loosely. I know he's a second-year player, but he's still learning the ropes. I'm trying to think. Brandon Miller, I'm cool with Brandon Miller. I really don't have any complaints with Brandon Miller. Cody Martin, we paid him. I see it. That to know if that's worth it, I just need to see the rest of the team individually. Maybe not, but as part of a whole team, as part of a team that can really do something, I think he'll be worth the money. It's just right now we don't have that team, so therefore he looks like he's a lot less. Also, him not playing for almost 2 years plays a part in that. PJ, I'm not a fan. I was people get what I, because I was screaming to resign PJ, but I think people were confusing what I was saying. I was saying that if the Hornets want to win, we had to resign PJ. I don't remember what I was saying as I had to step away, but with PJ. I was saying that PJ, to me, I wanted to resign him, but it was because I didn't think the Hornets were going to sign Grant Williams. I didn't think the Hornets were going to do anything if they didn't sign PJ. So my thinking was just resign him and figure it out later. That does not mean I thought PJ was going to be the savior. That does not mean I wanted PJ over to other people. It was truly and simply the fact that I did not have faith that the Hornets would do anything. They would just not re-sign PJ, and that would be it. There would be no bringing in. They would do similar to what they did about the point guard position, the backup point guard position. We're just going to bring in Frank Ntilikina off the street. The Hornets probably would have brought like James Johnson off the street, which I'm cool with because I like James Johnson, not necessarily the player. Like, he's not really going to do much, but I like the attitude he brings, and I think that actually would be some good veteran leadership to have, but I digress. So with those guys, I just don't know what you do. I don't know what you do because, yes, you could trade PJ, but for what? You could trade Terry, but for what? Will this team even make trades? I don't know. Gordon Hayward's now injured. Do you really get anything for him anymore? I don't know. Maybe a buyout. Maybe just hold on to him and just call it a day. It's just that so much opportunity was wasted. I don't know if the Hornets were waiting for the right trade. I have no idea. But what I am saying is that all the time has passed, and you're kind of stuck. You had to let go of Kai. You can't really get anything for Jane. Like, you're kind of just stuck with the roster you have and just have to let it all play out and then restart that way. You could tank like you're supposed to, trade Terry, trade all these guys. Fine. I feel like that would put us in a better situation than what we are in now. But overall, I think you're just kind of stuck. Anyway, let's just go ahead and move on to the next part, which really quickly, how can the Hornets take advantage of this road trip? Can they be successful on this road trip? And a quick, really quick answer, and like I said, this will be a really quick segment. No, you can't. You're playing the Suns, you're playing the Nuggets, I think you're playing the Kings. We just played the Lakers. We just played the Clipper. We played the Clippers. Like, I don't really think there's much else you can do here. I think it's kind of it. If anything, just come out healthy. That's all I'm asking. That's all you can ask, is that this team just comes out healthy. I think we play the Bulls before we come back to Charlotte. That's even going to be a tough game. The Bulls are playing inspired basketball, and they're missing their quote-unquote best player in Zach LaVine. Bulls look good. Bulls look good to me. I know, obviously they're not top of the East or anything like that, but they significantly look like a better team with Zach LaVine not in the lineup. So I think you figure it out. And just stay healthy because you're not going to beat any of those teams playing the way we are. We might catch a team. We're really good at that. I'll give them that. We're really good because that's the thing. We have the talent at times. They just don't perform to how you expect them to perform. It's so inconsistent. But yeah, the biggest thing is just to stay healthy. All right. Now let's move on to the next segment, which is just talking about, is Miles Bridges worth it? Hopefully this segment is not as long as the last segment, but essentially, Shams talked about how the Detroit Pistons are interested in having a four. And the names, I don't remember all of them, and I should have looked it up. But one of them was Pascal. Other one was Miles Bridges. I know they had a couple others, but those were the two main ones. And, of course, we're here to talk about the Miles Bridges. So, Miles Bridges this season, averaging 20 points, technically 19.8, but 20 points, I always round up. 20 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists, which I think those 3 assists is, like, technically 2.7. But once again, always round up. Same with the percentages. He's shooting 45% from the field, 32% from three, and 86% from the free throw line. Now, those numbers aren't bad to me. I never expected Miles Bridges to be a knockdown shooter, which he was for that one season where he almost was like 50, 40, 90. I never expected that to be who he was. I would be lying if I said I didn't expect him to maybe have a season or two where he kind of flirts with it, similar to that 2021-2022 season. Yeah. or maybe it was the 2020. I don't know. Either way, I don't expect him to be that player. This is kind of where I expect him to be, but there's a problem. I'll tell you the problems first, and then I'll talk about the good, because I think there is a lot of good. The problems is, one, this guy's supposed to be our $30 million a year player. 20 points. I'm not concerned about the 20 points. I'm more so concerned with just the overall game. Miles Bridges does not do well kind of operating by himself. He must have like the assist. He must have the guy to play make with him. And I'm not saying that that's completely wrong. I am, like, for example, what we're seeing in San Antonio, I think Wimby would really jump off the screen even more if he had like a sufficient point guard or sufficient, you know, someone to play make for him. Miles Bridges, same way. Well, LaMelo Ball's in, he plays significantly better. When Ish, I think, plays, he plays significantly better, but kind of doing it on his own, that's not his thing. Do you want to pay someone $30 million whose game is ultimately reliant on a point guard? Not really, especially considering that he doesn't do anything else very well. Now, walk with me here. I'm not saying Miles Bridges does not play well. My biggest thing with him is very, very similar to the theme of this team. And the reason we're talking more about Miles Bridges than Terry Rozier, Gordon Hayward, blah, 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 because Miles Bridges is someone who ultimately is more than likely going to be a part of the future of this team. Miles Bridges, I have higher expectations for. I feel like a lot of people get confused because people point out Miles Bridges' play. Now, there are some people who pick on Miles Bridges because of the incident. But you get that. I know, I'm not faulting him for that. He shouldn't have did what he did. But there's people who are like, well, you're not talking about Gordon. You're not talking about Terry. You're not talking about PJ. I feel like that's understood, personally. That, and I'll say that here. If you don't like it, you can turn it off. But I feel like that's understood. I don't need to talk about how bad PJ is. I don't need to talk about how just Terry just doesn't fit with the team, because I'm not going to say Terry's a bad player. I don't need to talk about how inconsistent and how just unwanted Gordon Hayward is. It's known. Everybody knows that. We've been saying it since day one. Miles Bridges is the new piece of this puzzle, because he went, has a terrible, terrible incident to his history. Two, has like tried to, has had his agency try to convince the Hornets to like let go of the qualifying offer so he can go sign somewhere else. And then three, ask him for like $30 million. And the reason is he signed a qualifying offer because the Hornets is like, I'm not doing that after you just kind of blindsided us and did what you did. So, yes, we're going to be harder on Miles Bridges than anybody else. Miles Bridges is the second fiddle on this team. It's LaMelo, Miles. There's no one in between. I personally think eventually it really kind of will be LaMelo, almost a Terry, LaMelo, Brandon Miles. That's kind of the flow I see it. But as of right now, it's LaMelo Miles. Why wouldn't we be more critical of Brandon? I mean, geez, I messed it up. Of Miles Bridges. We've seen what LaMelo can do. We've seen it. I think LaMelo's fantastic. LaMelo has done his part. If anything, his LaMelo's biggest issue is he can't stay healthy. Part of that's on him, part of that's on the training staff. And then part of it is just bad luck. It's like it's three pieces there. 33.3% for all of them. It's just LaMelo needs to figure out how to stay healthy. This training staff needs to have him better equipped as far as what he can kind of use to maintain that health. And then look, it's just that sometimes you can't, you know, it's not anyone's fault. It's sports, it's basketball. But yes, of course we're going to be hard on Miles Bridges. He's the one claiming for $30 million. He's the one, like, his agency has said this and did that. Like, of course we're going to be hard on Miles Bridges. As a team that has suffered so much, you're going to ask us to pay you $30 million, probably even more, for you to average 20 points, which I said, the points I'm not equating to the amount he's getting paid, but his defense is lackluster at times. He's built to be a great defender. I feel like other people, well, Gordon's not that good, or Terry's not that good. They're not built like Miles Bridges. Miles Bridges is built to be a good defender. He is built to be able to guard 1 through 4, and sometimes even a 5, depending on the team. He's not built to be an all-time defender, but he's built to be much better than what he is. Now, I will say, he's one of the better defenders on the team statistically and when I watch it on film. He is, even though he is checked out a lot of the time, especially off ball. I still expect more from you. You average 20 points a game. That is not a lot, especially in today's NBA. I'm happy for you. It's good. You just, no, sorry, players don't average 20. But if you're only going to average 20, you got to give me something else. You got to give me something else. And what else are you giving me right now? Not much. Not much. But what I see you can do, what I know you can do, what I, the stats say you can do, is much more. So you're just not living up to the potential. So, and some people say, well, LaMelo, his buddy is out. I'm not paying someone $30 million to mope around when their buddy's out. I'm not saying he's moping around, but I'm just saying, if to that argument, why give him that money if LaMelo's out, who, let's be frank here, it's just is what it is. LaMelo's just going to be out sometimes. Hopefully it gets fixed, but as of right now, we've seen it. It's a pattern. Every time LaMelo's out, you just stop playing. No, it doesn't make any sense. Once again, not saying Miles is doing that. All I am saying is that if people who are arguing that, why give Miles Bridges the money to be a second, you know, to be the second guy, when if his buddy's out, he just stops playing. Does that make any sense for a guy who, as of right now, unfortunately, has a history of being out? So that means half of the season, third of the season, however you want to slice it, Miles Bridges is going to just not play that hard because his buddy. No, it doesn't make any sense. But the reason I am so critical of Miles Bridges, and I will speak for others if they want to come out and say or expose and say, oh, that's not what I think, then fine. But just from what the people I know who say certain things, it's because we have high hopes for Miles Bridges. I don't have high hopes for Gordon. I don't have high hopes for Terry. I don't have high hopes for PJ. Not saying those guys are bad. That's another thing. Just because I say I don't have high hopes for him. Terry, I literally don't think fits on the team. Gordon Hayward's old and injury prone, and PJ Washington is just inconsistent. They could go on somewhere else and be great. I really truly believe that. I do. But this is not going to work for us. This collection of players is just not going to work. So I'm not saying they're bad, but I just don't have high hopes for them the way I have for Miles Bridges as far as basketball, as far as the money he wants to get paid. You want to get paid money? Then do. Okay, best example. When the Golden State Warriors won their championship 2 years ago at this point, what happened? A big, big part of that championship run was Andrew Wiggins, who gets paid a lot of money, but he didn't score that much. But he was decent playmaking, good rebounder, great defender. All these things. And yes, you probably could still argue he really wasn't worth that money. But no one's really going to say anything because it worked for that team. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying is that Miles Bridges, you can't just average 20 and call it a day. I don't think he will. My hope is that he finds, and it could be because we suck. And that happens. But it's just really, really hard for me to evaluate your game and say you're worth the money when a team that... If anything, I would be scared to give out money because I know that we can't scout or we don't. The Gordon Hayward just didn't make sense. Terry Rozier just didn't make sense. Gordon Hayward didn't make sense because the money, the injuries didn't make sense to give him that money. Terry Rozier just didn't fit with your best player. Why give him that money? It's no detriment to Terry. It's just Terry really does not fit with LaMelo Ball, and yet you gave him that kind of money. Why would we give money to Miles Bridges outside of him being LaMelo Ball's pal? Right now, I don't know. But if we're just projecting, I think this is what's supposed to happen. Miles Bridges has to hold up on this end, but this is what I see with Miles Bridges. What I see with Miles Bridges is that he can score on any level. He does need to work on his consistency a little bit, but as of right now, at least I can see that he can hit it. I'll take that right now, especially considering we're not doing anything. But he can score on almost any level. He's a mismatch for a majority of the players that face him, that match up with him on defense. He moves well without the ball. I think that a lot of we have spacing issues. We can't hit shots, so teams just crowd the paint. But I feel like if we can shoot a little better, I feel like the paint will open up. Miles Bridges will attack the rim much more efficiently. So I see that with him as well. I see a very, very extremely versatile defender who I think can literally guard 1 through 5 depending on the five. I really do see that. I'm not saying he'll be all defense. We don't need him to be all defense, but I do need him to be much better than what I've seen. Last night against the Lakers, early on against LeBron, and sometimes against AD, he was good. AD was just making shots over him, and LeBron truly was struggling. LeBron didn't take many shots, but of the people who defended LeBron, Miles Bridges did it best. Now, granted, LeBron's 40, but whatever. Still, we've seen LeBron drop 40 as well. So Miles Bridges has it. Like he was hyped and telling the team to get back. Like I see leadership qualities in him. I see that he can be a very valuable player. I just need him to buy into the system. Now, Could some of it be he doesn't want to be here because of where the future of the Hornets is going? If you want to say that, then I completely understand. Because it is hard to want to buy into a team who has not proven that they can get you to where you want to be in your NBA career. For a lot of players. Kemba Walker is one of them. So if that is why it's hard for him to buy in, I get it. But I'm saying that if you're going to ask for the $30 million, I need to see you to do those things because I know you can do those things. I've seen you do those things. But can you do it consistently? Can you do it when the odds are against you? Because it's not always going to be pretty. Until LaMelo Ball finds a way to constantly be healthy, it is not always going to be pretty in Charlotte. I don't even care if we end up being a playoff team. I don't care if we end up being a championship contending team. As of right now, the trajectory LaMelo Ball is on, based on what we've seen as far as injury, it's never going to be pretty. Hornets should do a better job of getting back us, because if you know that guy continuously is getting hurt, or also if you just want to preserve him, because I can see it where he gets better, doesn't really get injured that much, but the little times he gets nicked here and there, just go ahead and take him out. We don't want to make it worse. We need a solid backup. So like I said, it's not always going to be pretty in Charlotte. But I need Miles Bridges to kind of just be prepared for those moments. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he's a bad player. In fact, I think he can be a great player. I think he can be worth every single penny of the $30 million. I just need him to buy in. There's other factors of why he may not be buying in, and I completely acknowledge him and I accept him, and I don't blame him, quite frankly. But if you want this money, you want to play in Charlotte, you got to do it. It's just that simple. All right, so now we're going to move on to the final segment, which I think that segment took long too, but now we're going to move on to the final segment of the show. If you're on YouTube, make sure you go ahead and leave this video a like. If you're listening to any other on any podcast platform, make sure you go ahead and comment. I think you can do that. Rate the podcast 5 stars, all of that good stuff. But the final segment is just talking about, does NSJ, Nick Smith Jr., deserve more minutes? Short answer is yes. But I completely understand why he does not. And I'll quickly say why. So part of it is, I mean, first thing first, as a disclaimer, this conversation could be obsolete. It could not matter. There's a lot of things you could say about this conversation that we're about to have, because Gordon Hayward just got injured, won't be reevaluated for another 2 weeks. So we'll see an uptick in Nick Smith Jr.'s minutes by default. So I completely understand that. But I'm talking about overall scheme. Even let's say we're completely healthy, I still believe he deserves some minutes. Not saying 30. 10-15. Let's start there. But my case for being is the guys I feel like he's competing for minutes for outside of Terry, which ultimately, you know, they kind of play the same position, almost the same player, and maybe James Bouknight, but I think the Hornets are out on James Bouknight. But the main guys are Ish Smith, Bryce McGowan's. Those are the guys I feel like he's competing for minutes for. Now, Bryce McGowan's, I actually like him. I think he's more of a Cody Martin mold, though. I think he is literally just another Cody Martin. I know in college at Nebraska, he was kind of like this scorer who can get to the paint, who could kind of free himself up, attacking the basket. He sometimes shot threes. I see that. I get it. I acknowledge it. But I just think that that's more so what he is, the Cody Martin type, because I think he's underrated defender. Not saying he's like an all elite defender. I think he could become a really good defender. I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of those guys who kind of, I wouldn't say revitalized his career, because he's only a sophomore technically in the league, but I could see him being one of those guys who, you know, 3-4 years down the line, he's randomly on another team and being like, oh, this guy's really good for the league, like good for this team. One of those things where it's going to be very team specific, but he embraces his role. He'll be really good at it. I really see that. I think he can be a good defender for hopefully it's for the Hornets, but if not, I can see him being a good defender for other teams. But he's just not a game changer. And I feel like right now we need game changers. If at full health, full strength, we need the Cody Martins. And I was talking about that earlier. Cody Martin's deal is truly based on the team around him to know whether it's worth it or not. I think the same thing with Bryce McGowan. Not necessarily his deal, but just like, is he a good player, blah, blah, blah. I think it's based on the team around him. Right now, he's kind of playing in his role where it's like, I try to limit mistakes. I hate the shots I do get, play defense. I think he's doing pretty good at it. It's just not changing the game because of the fact that we're missing everybody. So I get it. I get why some people may be frustrated with him, but I also say, look at it at that point. I'm not saying that he's the next star or anything like that. I'm just saying that this particular role he's playing, I think it's just going to look worse until we're better as a team. I think you can look at him and be like, he's not really providing much. He's giving me sometimes 10 points and blah, blah, blah. But I think it's only because he's being asked to do so much. You have him come off the bench. You have him in spot minutes. You have him guard like the spark plug for the other team. I think you're happy with the performance you get from him. I think just right now is a difficult time for him. He's not a game changer. Right now, where we are, we need game changers. So, and thus, this is why I say Nick Smith Jr. should probably get minutes over him, because Nick Smith Jr. can score at will. He really can score any kind of way. I think his defense is, he's not, I wouldn't say he's the defender Bryce McGowan's is, but he's also not like Bryce McGowan's, like as far as stature, but he's bought in. And I'm not saying Bryce McGowan's is not, but Nick Smith Jr. tries. He tries the best he can to be an active defender. That's an active defender is what I kind of like using for players who may not be the Jrue Holidays of the world, may not be the Draymond Greens of the world, Rudy Gobert's, whatever, but they actively are trying. They don't make it easy for the opposing player. I think that's what Nick Smith Jr. is. Also, you got to think he's only a rookie. I could only imagine what it would be like, you know, kind of getting some games under his belt. I just think he deserves the minutes more than Bryce McGowan's, like I said, because he's a game changer. As far as overall, I could see, you know, Bryce McGowan's kind of having a nod. But as far as what we need right now, should be Nick Smith Jr. And then even in the future, I think it should be Nick Smith Jr. But in the future tense, we're talking Terry because Terry's gone. So I think that would really open up for Nick Smith as well. Next is Ishmith. Should he get more minutes over Ishmith? And I completely understand both sides. As far as we'll just defend Ishmith the same way we did Bryce McGowan for the sake of the argument. But Ishmith is the only true point guard. Even if Frank Ntilikina comes back, Ishmith is the only true point guard outside of LaMelo Ball. And I think just by default, he gets those minutes. I don't think you can take Nick Smith Jr. and replace Ishmith with him. I don't think you can. Ishmith, I think, is valuable. He is one of the better players in the league. And I know it sounds crazy or not, but he's one of the better players in the league at like getting to the basket and causing the defense to collapse and finding a way out. Now, sometimes that results in turnovers. And it's annoying because it's like, dude, you only get so many minutes. But he's really, really good at that. He might be top three on the team. And like I said, might be one of the better players in the league, like the better half of the league, that is really good at just getting the defense to collapse. And it's crazy because it's Ishmith. He's been around the league a long time. He's been on 14 different teams. He's like all over the place. And yet, I don't know how he does it, but I think it's because of the fact that he is so good at passing. He is so good at also kind of crafting his way to the rim. So you got to kind of guard him carefully, but you can't guard him too carefully because he might kick it out. Like, yeah, I don't know. He's just really good at it. I'm not saying he's better than Nick Smith Jr. or anything like that, but considering Nick Smith is not a true point guard to me, I think Ish gets that nod. Now, for my argument for Nick Smith Jr., once again, he's a game changer. He's a guy, we saw him drop 15. Yes, he does not have the playmaking or the probably like the IQ of Ishmith, but Ishmith's been around the league, been around a lot of players. I'm not expecting a rookie to have that. If we're talking future tense, because that's what this team is for, Ishmael's not going to be here forever. I would rather give the minutes to Nick Smith Jr. Maybe even have them play together sometimes to kind of figure that out and help Nick Smith Jr. game in the long run. But overall, it would make more sense to have Nick Smith. We'll just say Nick. I'm tired of saying his own name. Or NSJ. It would just make more sense to have NSJ have those minutes than Ish. Simply just because of the fact that we're trying to prepare for the future. Ish is not going to be a part of that future. I would love to have him maybe as an assistant coach or just a player we pay and he doesn't play rogue. Like, you know what I mean? Because we need that. And then two, I like him. I really do. But yeah, overall, NSJ just the deserved minutes over both of them for separate reasons. But ultimately, I think he deserves to have the most minutes out of those two. But I completely understand why they get the minutes. I really do. But once again, I'm not asking for NSJ to have 30 minutes a game. Give me 10, 15. I'm okay. I'm perfectly fine with that, especially as a rookie, especially as there are some things he needs to work on. Like we're seeing with Terry, you know, you're kind of like a point guard build, but you play like a shooting guard, but you can't really be a shooting guard because of your size. That is where NSJ, even though I think he's 6'4", 6'5", I think you don't want him to fall into that Terry role of kind of being that guy who just struggles when it's time to play make. So I think we can get the playmaking, you know, with him early. It would benefit him a lot. And the way he can get that is by playing more minutes. But anyway, let me know what you think. Sorry this episode was so long. I didn't really expect it to be this long, but the rant about Miles Bridges and then just the beginning was a lot. I get it. But thank you so much for listening. Once again, if you're listening to this on YouTube, I'm pretty sure you done finished by now. I'm sorry, but you can always check out the podcast on anywhere you get podcasts. I'm going to try to do these every Thursday. Life has just been going crazy. This is the part where I show where I just kind of talk, but life has been going crazy. As you all know, I'm a father to be. Due date's not till April, so I have plenty of time. Hornets won't be in the playoffs. It'll be great. But still, there's a lot of prep work that needs to be done for that, which I was not aware of. So sorry that the videos have just not been videoing. I haven't been been able to record as much as I've wanted to, but hopefully you understand. It may become like more podcast heavy where you get the podcast maybe even twice a week. And maybe the individual videos that just round up a couple of games here and there. I don't know. Maybe breaking news. And then also by saying that, I think it would be a good idea for me to video the podcast itself. So we'll see. There's a lot of things I got to think about and figure out how to do because I want to provide y'all with good content, but I also got to, you know, kind of do what's best for my family and be there. You know, all the family stuff. So I will figure it out. Y'all won't go too long without content. I just may not be able to upload, you know, every day or every other day as I used to. And I'm sorry for that. My goal is to kind of get on it and do better, especially before the baby gets here. But anyway, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to leave this 5 stars or wherever you listen to this on podcast. And don't forget to give us a thumbs up. You listen to it on YouTube. And you can always find me here on the Trust the Buzz podcast feed, part of the Believe Podcast Network. Shout out to Believe for just having me on here. And shout out to Believe for understanding my situation. They were really cool when I told them, hey, like I may not be able to record as much as I want to, simply because of preparing. They were more than happy with it. So I'm just thankful for that as well. But anyway, peace out, and I hope y'all guys have a great new year.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.